Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Thank you guys for covering for me yesterday when I did my Channel 5 interview. This is a really good show. As a listener, it's a really good show. Like, I say this every time I'm on vacation. I listen to all the way back from Denver when I took Phoebe and her friend out there. And I've said this before. I said it at that time, but you'll get it, hopefully. It takes so much less to entertain than you think it does. I don't know if that makes any sense. Because this show, we get into politics and we get into real things, but it's mostly just kind of jacking around with your buddies. And that is, to me, so listenable. I really enjoyed it yesterday.
Yeah. Well, when you can't be with your friends and joking around and doing what we talked about it yesterday, the whole idea of what you do when you're with friends is what we do.
Yeah.
If you can't be with your own friends because you're at work or you're driving or whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to hear people doing the same thing you'd like to be doing at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. So Mike Bush came out to Bethesda yesterday and interviewed me and a few other people from the hospice and my hospice patient, Jackie. And it's going to be the Making a Difference episode this Sunday at 10 p.m. So we'll tweet it out for you over the weekend and remind you. But I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. And Mike didn't know that I was a volunteer. He just thought I had a passion for it.
Oh, okay.
And so it wasn't until we sat down and we're actually doing the interview that he learned the story about my mom. And I think it really got to him, which is going to make it more impactful. So
very good.
He's such a cool dude. You know him very well?
I've never met him.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
Mike's awesome.
He is cool.
Yeah. What? Oh, gosh. I shouldn't even tell it.
So now you have to.
Yeah.
Twirling your hair like, no, I shouldn't.
I'm not going to.
Don't make me. Shut up.
Do it, Dave. Everyone else is doing it.
So I'm not a big drinker. You guys know that.
Of water.
Of water or alcohol. I have a very narrow band.
You don't do any of the extremes.
Liquids. Right?
Everything is right down the middle. No water, no booze.
Water is extreme.
But flavored things, you know.
It is. He's insane. He drinks water.
There's a spectrum.
He's not super healthy. He's not super unhealthy. Yeah. But we were hosting. He was hosting the Diabetes Association at the Stiefel. And I had hosted it the year before. And we knew each other, but not great. And since I was in the crowd and not working, I had a few cocktails. And afterwards, when we're all like out milling around and the, you know, people are getting their cars to the valet, and I had purchased a signed hockey stick. And Mike was talking to someone, and I'm behind Mike. And everyone's looking at me because they could tell I got, you know, wildness in my eye. And so I took the hockey stick with the business end,
up.
Put it between his legs and yanked it and racked him. Yeah, I know. And I didn't know him that well. And so he bends over and spins around and sees that it's me. And it was, of course, very good natured because he's a gentleman. But everyone I was with, I had rented a limo to bring everyone, like three or four couples with me, and they're like, you just hit Mike Bush in the nuts. I'm like, it was great, wasn't it? Wasn't that hilarious?
You think you're on Jackass?
I know. This is what kids don't have cocktails. This is what it makes you do. But that bonded us.
Yeah.
We've been boys since
See?
Then.
It worked.
It did work.
It worked.
Because after that, I was exceedingly nice to him.
Dave was like, oh, hey.
Every time I saw him.
How we doing, buddy?
So know this about Mike Bush. He's a good sport.
Yeah.
He's a good sport.
Did he turn around and laugh, or did he just look at you like, what
there
the hell?
There was a couple seconds of disbelief.
Did that just happen? That kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah.
And then, because if something like that happens to me, I'm going, like, if it's around here, I'm like, yeah, Dave just did that.
Right.
If it's not, maybe I'm like, ah, that was Ben. You expect to turn around and see somebody that
you know intimately.
Yes.
You don't expect to see someone who you've met twice.
Kevin, were you at 101 when Steve-O came in? This was before I started.
I believe, yeah, I wasn't in the building, but I was working there at the time.
Okay,
yeah.
Steve-O from Jackass came in, and as the story goes, Brad Barnes, who was the producer
at the time,
Did they put him in hockey gear, and Steve-O was shooting?
Steve-O was trying to hit him in the
junk. It hit him in the junk, and he missed every time. Yeah. He just walked up to him and then kicked him.
Right.
Steve-O kicked
our
producer.
It's like he was trying to shoot it, and he couldn't do it, and he got frustrated, and he just walked up and kicked him
right in the hole.
Just like you would expect on an episode of Jackass.
Yes.
Which, by the way,
wait a minute.
When you have Steve-O in, you expect
this
that.
This is a producer.
You got to see that coming.
He's not on Jackass. Do not kick him.
Oh,
he did it, though.
Brad wanted that stuff. He wanted to be a part of the story.
He did say it was bad, though.
I'm sure it was. It always is. When is it not?
Isn't he lucky that's not a lawsuit? It doesn't matter if you're Steve-O. You can't do that.
No, you can't do it. But if you're going to get kicked in the sack,
it better be somebody
from Jackass.
And better be a pro.
Yeah.
A professional.
Well, you know, somebody of reputation. An expert, if you will.
You're like, what an honor.
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
Thank you so much for doing that. I'll never forget this.
May I have another?
I'll never forget this day.
I saw a TikTok today. These two little boys, they're brothers, and they're about six. And there's, you know, the circular waste cans where you step on it and it pops up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were taking turns hitting each other in the face with it and just cracking up. They're like, me. And he just, bam, and hit him in the face. And they'd both laugh. Yeah. I'm like, I've never seen a better definition of boys.
Yep. That would have been me as a kid. Me and my brother.
See how bad this hurts.
Yeah. Oh, that hurt. You do it.
Right. Yeah. Do it again. Yeah, childhood was just...
It's a constant test of pain.
Just a long series of painful things you did to each other.
Dude, we used to, like, with my brother and I, but also friends, because when we were kids is when wrestling exploded, right? Right after Hulk Hogan was on the Rocky movie. Like, professional wrestling was just huge. And we were just like do the moves on each other, like just body slam people. And then we realized, oh, wait, people actually get hurt when you do those things. They're acting on TV.
Right.
We weren't acting.
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
And that floor is made to be fallen on.
Yes, it bounces.
Is it the whole point of it is to fall on it?
Well, we used to take the couch cushions and put them down on the ground like that would help.
No, we didn't. We would just use we'd be in my friend's basement and it was just carpet and then concrete.
Yeah.
Nothing between it. That's not good.
That was a good way. That was a good time, by the way, to be the oldest person in the room because nobody was body slamming me.
Yeah.
So did you guys ever do that as girls? Any boy stuff?
You ever beat each other up?
No. I mean, I would, like, my brother and I fought a little bit when I was, like, very young.
Yeah.
And then you get older and it's like, I don't want to fight. Like, why would I? Like, I'm listening to you guys talk now and I'm just like, okay, as long as you're having fun, I guess.
Yeah, we did all the time, man.
It's not appealing to me in any way.
Fighting was like play.
Yeah.
The only thing we didn't do when you were fighting, like, not in anger, was you never hit anybody in the face when it was like play
fighting.
Because
that would lead to a real fight.
Well, because it would make, yes. And also, you could get in trouble because, you know, you had a bloody nose, black eye, whatever, and you get in trouble for that.
Remember that when you would actually hurt someone, and then you're like, it's okay, it's okay.
You're fine.
You're fine. It's just okay. Don't tell mom.
Don't tell mom.
Like, this is one of those stories that I know it happened. It absolutely happened. I was in kindergarten, and I can't remember if I was the one on the big wheel or it was the other kid, but we were screwing around, and one of us fell back and hit our head on the concrete, and the other one ran away.
Yeah.
So I don't remember. I honestly, it must have been me.
If you
who
don't
hit
remember
my head.
It, you must have
it
hit your head.
It was probably me.
Yeah.
But the other kid just ran away. That's what you used to do when somebody got hurt. You ran away. You didn't get in trouble.
I'd be curious to get Amy and Rachel's answers on this, but it felt like we hit our heads like that all the time.
Yeah.
Where you hit your head and you're just like, and you're stunned for a second and you're like, that
hurt. You don't
have
to play professional football to have CTE.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, a blow to the head's a blow to the head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you ever hit your head like that?
I mean, I've hit my head for sure. Outside of like playing hockey or ice skating, like without a helmet on, which is awful. I will say we would do like gymnastics and things in the family room. So most of my head hitting was definitely on coffee tables and things like that. Yeah. Or like you jump on the couch and there's the wooden arm or the wooden leg. It's always something. I still have a scar on my face from hitting when I was 3. We were playing ball and I dove to get the ball and hit my eye.
You really would have to bubble wrap everything to keep a toddler from doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's toddlers, no matter how good a parent you were, takes a dive at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, I am now remembering a thing that I did when I was, we must have been third or fourth grade, and a buddy of mine and me were going to play baseball in the empty lot, and I had a wooden bat. And I think we're going to just hit tennis balls with it or whatever. And I'm walking in front of him down the sidewalk, and I didn't realize how close he was to me. And I took a swing as I'm walking.
Oh, no.
And I heard the clunk. I made good contact, too.
Yeah.
Probably hit the sweet spot and everything. Oh. And he dropped to the ground, and I felt, I hope he's
okay. Was it like side of the head, forehead, face?
I don't even know.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know where I hit him. I remember turning around and he's on his knees and he's holding his head, and I know he didn't go to school the next day.
Oh,
yeah.
I felt pretty bad about that. So
baseball bats as a kid, especially as a kid, golf clubs, because no matter what you're doing with a golf club, you're going to do a fake swing. You're going to actually swing. And I remember I was not there, but a friend of mine was playing putt-putt with her friend. Anyway, the next day, my friend came back and was like, yeah, I knocked out the two front teeth of Tracy because she had a putt-putt. You know how kids are like, I'm taking a swing, and like did a huge backswing with the putt-putt. I mean, we were 9 years old, like young, but knocked out the teeth. Yeah.
I was, so Eddie O'Neill was my quote-unquote rich friend because he had a brick house, and he got $5 to spend when we went to the matinee.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a dollar. So I had to choose between popcorn and a soda or candy and a soda, but I could never make the math work for all three. And this mofo, he'd walk up and he'd be like, give me some chocolate stars, give me the orange soda, give me the... And I'm just like, what's it like to be you?
Yeah.
But behind his house, they were building a house that had these big dirt mounds. And so I was on a bike and he was on his Yamaha 80. And he was chasing me good-naturedly. We were pals. But he hit my back tire and I fell, and then he ran over my face. And my lip was all busted up and I'm tasting blood, and I go flying home and I run in the door and I tell my mom, I'm like, Eddie just ran over my face with a motorcycle. And she's like, oh, I'm so sick of your stories. She's like, you tell me what really happened. You tell me right now. And just then his dad, Big Ed, ran in. He's like, Eddie ran over Dave's face with a motorcycle. She's just like, ah!
Is he okay?
Yeah. But I remember
oh my gosh.
It. Now, I remember a memory of a memory of a memory, but I remember like the knobbies.
Did
you have a tire mark
treads
across your face?
I had to.
Oh, no. That's awful.
Yeah,
tread
I had
face.
Yeah. Oh, did he get in trouble?
I don't know. Probably not. I remember one time he, because I got in trouble for things.
Mm.
Trouble at the Glover house was real trouble. Yeah. Like when my mom said, wait till your dad gets home, it was not an empty threat.
Yeah.
And his dad had a brown LTD and it had dust on it, and Eddie wrote his name in it. And his dad found it, and I'm like, here we go, here we go. And his dad's like, Edward, I'm very disappointed in you, and as your punishment, you're going to wash my car and wax it. And I'm like, and then the beating comes, right? Like, and then you're going to get whipped with a fly swatter. Nope. That's when I realized not everyone gets whipped with a fly
it's
swatter.
A little different, yeah.
A little different.
A little different here.
Like, man.
That's not fun if he's not getting beat. Wait a minute. Has anybody else noticed that Kevin's wearing a SpongeBob SquarePants shirt?
Oh, yeah, we know.
I love it.
We know.
I just found it. No, I just refound it. So, like, at the end of every winter season, I take all long sleeve stuff and I just throw it in the back of the closet, right? Well, the other day, I'm like, I got to clean out my closet, and I found it, and I found a couple other ones. So, yeah, I'm very happy.
I love it.
I know. It's the best.
Again, it fits you well.
It does. I know.
It really does.
I mean, no doubt that I probably got this shirt when Rach and Andrew were probably close to 10 years old.
You think, you have any clothes that predate Rachel and Andrew's lives?
Absolutely. I've got shirts from the 80s. Hmm. Not many. There's still a couple hanging in there. Yep.
I still got my parachute pants.
Do you?
Yep.
You do?
I do.
I wish I had my Thriller jacket from when I was a kid.
We could wear them on the same day.
Oh, man, my gosh. You guys would be a killer team. And then you could wear that one glove that was found in the garage.
Yeah, what was that? What is that? We have like 4 emails. Like, I know what they're talking about. I saw that nasty ass glove like 3 days in a row, and I'm like, I'm not even gonna pick that up to throw it away. Like someone's wearing one dirty glove, and they're like, oh, thank God.
We rocked the reply all conversation.
126 DGS on KMOX. So I feel a little bit bad about this, but Joe Biden is saying goodbye to the country tonight from the Oval Office at 7, and I just couldn't care less. I like him. I think he's been a better president than most people do, but I just don't care to see his goodbye. How about you guys?
I'll probably watch it, but I just like watching stuff like that. I don't know. Sometimes for comedic effect, you want to see what Joe's going to do. Mm. But I don't think you should feel bad that you don't want to watch. You just don't want to watch. It's not a big deal.
I don't want to watch because it'll be depressing. I don't like him. I don't think he is a good president. I have huge issues with some of the things that he's done. But I just feel sad now. Like, I just think it's sad. I don't like to see I don't like to see anyone in his state, much less the president of the United States. So I feel like it will only make me feel sad and cynical.
I'm not watching anything like that unless I have to.
I'll get the highlights.
Is there any news in it? Is it important? No, bye.
You are Mr. Highlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would, if there's anything important, I would much rather read it. Yeah. Than just watch it on TV, because I would like to digest information more than get whatever dog and pony show is going on around it.
Yeah, and I'm with Dave. I don't think it has at all been a bad presidency. I think the narrative around it is far worse than the reality. And he should get a lot more credit for where we are than what he's getting, especially when you compare us to the rest of the world post-pandemic. And you could try to take the pandemic out of it, but it matters. It matters how we recovered from it. We recovered from it better than almost anybody else in the world has done. So, yeah, you can not like him. You can not like his party or whatever, and that's perfectly fine. It's up to you, but it's just, it's not real. It's not realistic to say that he's been a bad president. You could say you don't like him for whatever reason, but we are not in a bad place.
Watch, I'm about to tease something. Did you guys talk about this new proposed law, immunity for someone who turns in someone who's hazing, even if it's themselves?
You didn't talk about it? You're turning yourself in?
Awesome. Yes, we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. One of the best rock and roll voices of all time, Robin Zander from Cheap Trick. When I was young, probably 13, 14, I saw them at the Old Glory Amphitheater at Six Flags. My first two concerts were there. The first one was the Commodores. I had never heard of the Commodores.
Yeah. Really? So this is like the we are the, not was it? What, Celebration? Did they do that? Celebrate?
That's Cool in the Gang.
That's Cool in the Gang. Oh, Commodores had Lionel Richie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brick House.
Yeah.
John Brand.
Oh, great song.
Okay, so there is a proposed law in Missouri, and I give all the credit to Megan Lynch. I heard her do the story today with a representative, and if I get any of this wrong, I apologize, but basically, after this kid at Mizzou was so terribly disabled, when they made him drink like a handle of vodka and then left him alone, mm-hmm. took him to the hospital and dumped him, and now he's severely disabled for the rest of his life, and so they spoke to the parents of this young man and other parents whose kids have been hazed, usually with alcohol, and they said, look, we're not that interested in seeing the kids who did it brought to justice. We want our son back, and we want to avoid that for anyone else's son or daughter. And so what the law is that whoever is first to call 911 or first responders, report it to the police, report it to campus police that someone is being hazed and they are in danger, even if you are the hazer or someone who is involved in putting together the hazing. So you get immunity, even if you're the bad guy. If you're the first to call and report it and give whatever assistance you can, you have to stay with them. You have to give whatever assistance you are able to render. But if you do, you are then immune from any sort of prosecution or trouble. What do you think?
This is one of those I see both sides of it things, because especially if you're dealing with younger people, they're going to be terrified to make a phone call. So if I know of this incident that happened with younger people and a person ended up getting paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And the folks who were there when the accident occurred, this guy had fallen off of a, he was sitting on a concrete wall and he fell like 8 feet backwards and he broke his back. Mm-hmm. But had they called 911 immediately instead of just kind of leaving him there because they were terrified, didn't know what to do, he ended up being paralyzed from the waist down. And so that's the kind of thing that it... If you give them incentive to say, you're not going to get in trouble, just call 911, do something about this so that we can help the kid, I fully get that. But at the same time, you should face a little bit of punishment. But so what's more important here? Is it the life or the health of the person involved, or is it making sure the person who's responsible gets punished? And you might have to weigh those. I think I err on the side of, I really don't know what to think, but I think I err on the side of make sure that an ambulance gets called.
Well, I know with Phoebe at KU, and she's a partier, that if she drank too much and was in danger and whoever put her up to it calls and reports it, even though I'm extremely salty at the person who orchestrated it, I would rather have my daughter.
Yeah.
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 Because it could be a matter of minutes.
Yes.
I have know people who were they're our age, so it was a long time ago, but at college, and hazing, and one of the guys was like a really big guy, and they, you know, like, you can drink this much liquor, and they got to the point where they were just pouring liquor down his throat, and one of the guys was super drunk. I mean, they were all super drunk, but one of the guys who was super drunk, for whatever reason, by the grace of God, was like, this looks wrong. Like, he's slouched over. And he was on death's door. I mean, they immediately got there, pumped his stomach. He was on death's door. And I know that woke them up to the dangers of drinking. But like I said, by the grace of God, they didn't kill their friend. I have a hard time, like, even imagining being in that situation, just because it's just not how I operate. It's not how my brain works. It just seems awful all the way around. So, I mean, Kevin, you went to a big school, I'm sure, saw hazing. Did you ever think, hey, this is crossing the line?
Well, none of the hazing that I saw in high school or college was ever related to alcohol. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but like, that's typically, and I'm probably overgeneralizing, so I understand it's not 100%, which is why I said typically. That's typically more of a fraternity thing.
Yeah, that's where this...
And I was not in a fraternity, and frat life was not as big a deal at Miami as it is in a lot of schools. It's much smaller part of the way that it is there. So the things that I would have seen would be more like pranks. Like a hazing for our baseball team might have been you tape your arms and legs together like you're a mummy, and they put you on the elevator, and you go up and down that on a road trip for, and you're in a downtown elevator. It's just a ha-ha, everybody, and then you cut them loose and they're done. Like, I never saw any of violent things. I never saw any of the, pushing alcohol down people's throats. Mm. And thankfully I didn't. But, and as a non-drinker, if somebody tried to make me do it, I would have not done it. I mean, I do think we have to have some responsibility on the people that are participating. I like the idea of this because the important thing is saving the life and, and reducing the amount of damage done as much as we can. But I would love to see the institutions, with the backing of alumni, with the backing of parents, make it clear if there is a hazing incident in your organization is gone. If it happens at your frat house, your frat house is shut and you don't exist anymore. If it happens on your baseball team is shut down. You're done for the year. Every player's gone. The coaches are fired. Well, maybe not. We'll see, but depends on how much the coaches allow and what they know. but it's over, season's over, and we'll start again next year. Or the same
zero
thing.
Zero tolerance.
I think, or everyone's expelled, you're gone. Because mm-hmm. There's no reason for this to exist. Kids are kids, but they're not that young. They're smart enough to know that you shouldn't be doing dangerous things.
You said like if this happens, shut the whole fraternity down or whatever.
Or at least,
I agree with that. I think that's a good example.
Maybe not forever, because again, but everybody in it, done.
Yeah.
For the rest of the year, that's gone. And if somebody wants to try to restart it the following year with new people, wonderful. We'll consider it. You can apply to come back. But the no tolerance, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry, if you get kicked out of school and lose your scholarship and your grades are screwed up, too bad. Don't do the stupid thing, because it's a lesson for life in the future. To me, participating in that is no different than getting behind the wheel when you're drunk. You have to take the steps in advance of it to not do the dangerous, stupid thing. And I know, again, I was a college kid, and I was stupid. But I wasn't stupid enough to do any of those things. And I don't think I was exceptional. I just think I didn't fall into it.
And I think you're exceptional. I mean, I think you are as straight and narrow as I've ever met, or as strong of a conviction and personality.
I mean, I do have
a
strong will. Like, I'm not going to give in on things.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is, for me, I was always raised that if you do these things that are dangerous and bad, you will lose the things you like. That was my punishment. My threats were not, I'll beat the crap out of you. Because, you know, look, I'll take a half an hour of pain to have fun for 10 hours or 50 hours or whatever it is. But I don't want to lose the things that I care about. Well, if you care about your frat, if you care about your team, then you can't do these things. Because then it ends. It's gone.
Rach, what do you think?
I totally agree with Wheels. Just reading about this Danny's Law. So it looks like they're protected from the hazing felony, but I don't think they should be protected from getting in trouble at school at that.
Right.
Like, you know, does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. you can be protected from the law. You're not going to go to jail, but if you're underage, and I mean, maybe this is a stupid question, but do colleges even care if kids drink underage?
They say they do.
They do nothing to prevent it.
Well, if it's getting to the point where it's dangerous like this, like, they have responsibility here. I don't get why the university would just be like, oh, well, you know, we're just going to let someone else handle it.
Is there anything that can be done reasonably in mass to not reverse? That's too much to ask, but to curb and take a left turn on the drinking, on the binge drinking in college? Because you go back to the 20s and 30s. People are sitting on flagpoles and swallowing goldfish and drinking, you know. But it really is such a big deal now. It's just such a part of it, depending on the school you go to.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to curb the behavior of people partying, because that's what it is. They're partying. But there's a level of partying that is sensible, that's not ridiculous. When you're literally pouring bottles of alcohol down someone's throat, that's not partying.
Yeah.
Now you're just being ridiculous.
I wonder, too, how much, and I know people do crazy things everywhere, but I do think the American college experience, to a point, might be a little different than what it is in Europe. Like, I don't know what the SEC equivalent is in Germany, but I feel like it doesn't exist in that same sense. And so I do think, you know, it would mandate a cultural shift, which is a big one on how you view drinking and turning 21 and partying on campus. And college is not about education. It's 4 years of just being crazy, man. Like, it's just, I mean, I think some of that to a degree is kind of American culture. And so shifting that is a pretty big undertaking.
Yeah.
And it's such a perfect storm, because people my age can drink too much and get behind the wheel or do something really stupid they regret.
Yeah.
But when you have 18-year-olds who have probably not, if they've drank at all, it was in high school and it was more measured. They don't want to get in trouble with their mom and dad. But now they're away at school. So you have very young people whose brains literally haven't gelled yet, who have absolute access to anything they want, whether it's beer or it's hard liquor or it's Adderall, or, you know, they've got it all.
Yeah.
That's just
On a resort.
But, you know, also,
on a resort where it's just them and they're just walking around it's just a resort of young people.
Yeah.
It's so surreal. It's such a bizarre experience. It is a perfect storm. But I don't know how to fix everything, but it's a perfect
storm.
Also,
I think it's not everybody on a college campus is participating in extreme drinking. A lot of kids party. Very few people are doing what we're talking about, pouring booze down somebody's
throat. If there were more people doing it, there would be more deaths.
And a lot of people in college, don't do it at all.
Yeah.
Like, they are just there to study, or they don't. That's not their thing. So I think to say that everybody on campus is doing it, or even the majority is doing it, is probably wrong. I don't know what it's like in Europe. I have no idea.
It's less.
I'm sure it's less.
It's not the same environment.
I do think it's a mistake,
because
though, to
drinking
be.
Drinking isn't.
Well, no, you can drink when you're a teenager. Right. You'll drink wine with your parents.
Less of a taboo.
It's not as much of a, hey, I'm free, let's party. It's just something you've grown up with.
Yeah. I talked to five girls who are at Stanford University, grew up in Great Britain, grew up drinking, and they said, yeah, we were over it by the time we got to college. We were done. We'd done it.
DGS on KMOX. It's National Bagel Day.
Nice.
Are we bagel people? What's your bagel order? Bagel. Mm-hmm. Mine could not be more Hoosier. this is the quintessential South Roxana bagel order. I like sesame seed toasted with butter and grape jelly.
What's wrong with that?
No, oh, good.
I feel from Rachel, though.
I feel seen.
I don't know about the jelly.
I feel accepted.
That's great.
No, you know, people like, I like salmon, I like lox, I like
capers,
I like this.
Yeah. I get down with the lox and bagel.
Mine is the cinnamon bagel.
Okay.
You don't need anything on it.
I feel you.
Just eat it.
Just eat no cream cheese?
Nothing.
Oh, bro.
I do like cream
toasted?
Cheese on a bagel.
No. I mean, if it usually
sliced
they're freshly.
In half?
They're, yeah, maybe.
Bread sliced?
No.
Remember when that
dries
pissed everybody off a few years ago?
So mad.
Yes. Oh my God. I had people like, what's wrong with you, St. Louis? I'm like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it's right.
What are you getting mad at me for?
Listen, buddy, this is the least of our troubles.
Yeah.
I think it's
St. Louis is known for like murder capital and eating weird food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like thin square sliced pizzas and bread sliced bagels.
Honestly, what had you heard of that before that whole controversy?
No.
I'd seen it around a few times, but I didn't think anything of it.
I had never seen it once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would get it bread sliced.
Man, when I was Fat Dave, back when I was a lawyer and I had my law office in Clayton, I'd go to Einstein Bagels every morning and get two of the aforesaid bagels and a big orange juice. It's like 2,000 calories.
Yeah. Bagels are definitely,
they're a lot. Yep.
They're not sweet like donuts, but they got more than donuts in there.
Yeah.
They're so dense.
I know. It's unbelievable.
I would eat one every day, but I'd be like 30 pounds heavier.
So you guys would have loved Fat Dave. He was fun.
The only time I eat him, and I swear this is true, marathon, the morning that I run a marathon. Because like you said, they're so dense. You don't want volume. You want density. So you eat like a half a bagel, you're ready to go.
Is that a real thing, carbon up? I've always heard, like, eat a bunch of pasta the night before.
It is, but I've never done the pasta thing. I think you have to know what works with your stomach. For me, I always think whatever goes down, you got a picture
it's
coming
come
back
out.
Up.
Yeah.
So I will do soft pretzels. So I'll get, like, a box of soft pretzels and chicken breast. So very plain, no sauce, nothing, and just eat pretzels and chicken breast all day
long. Because you're preparing to throw up?
Just in case. It's just that you'll taste. When you're digging really
about
hard.
The other end.
Yeah, other end too. Both ends.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Well, I mean, you don't want it to happen.
But you're not worried about sauce when it's that.
But the sauce could make that happen.
Like if it's cream sauce, I can barely make it home from Paul Mott's.
Right. No, you're so right.
As soon as dinner's over, can I get the check? I have to go right now. Right now.
Oh, pasta con broccoli from Pasta House. It'll clean me out.
I stopped at this gas station on Olive coming home from Paul's one time, and the guy knocked on the bathroom door. I'm like, all night, brother.
Yeah.
I'm here all night. You have to find a QT.
Oh, no.
The way is shut.
Going to be here all day, dude.
Going all Gandalf, just like, you shall not pass.
Every time you talk about passing is your name?
What is your quest?
I didn't know.
That was really good.
Trying to find your bathroom.
What is your favorite color?
red. No blue. No blue.
What?
I thought
I gotta go to the bathroom. Open the door.
It's like I had discovered gold when I found Monty Python. Oh, yeah. I was like 13.
Oh my god!
Like finally someone gets me.
That's, yeah. That's when I saw it for the first time. I was like 13, 14. Oh, thank you, Dad.
No kidding.
That's all. Oh, that stuff is the best.
My mom and dad used to watch it with me and just be like, we have no idea what's even happening. None of this makes sense.
Why is our son so weird?
Yeah. Why are they afraid of a rabbit? I don't get this.
It's so good.
Yeah, that was so good, but the Benny Hill was stupid.
Oh,
everybody made such a big
stupid
deal out of like, oh, it's
and
Benny
that,
Hill.
And that was my dad's speed.
Really?
He loved Benny Hill.
I never got into it.
I mean, like, when I was a kid, everybody would like, oh, I saw Benny Hill last night. He was really racy. And I'm like, great. And I watched it. I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people ended up agreeing. There's a reason it was on late. So dads could sneak away.
Yes, 100%.
I did love the Stooges, though.
No,
don't
get that one
don't
started.
Get that started. You hate them? No, yeah. I'm fine with them. We have a person in the room that doesn't like them, though.
Not my favorite thing.
Oh, Rachel.
Two of us.
What, Dave?
No.
Oh, we've got to talk about this tomorrow.